From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. In the 5 days since a special election was called to redraw California's congressional maps in response to Texas Republicans working to gain an advantage in the 2026 midterms, a fast-paced calendar fueled by dueling campaigns has been set into motion. In 10 weeks, on November 4th, voters will make a decision to temporarily bypass California's Independent Redistricting Commission, a move that has sparked heated debate. This is an ongoing conversation that we're going to be having on Insight. You will hear from a wide range of voices. On yesterday's show, we heard from a former independent redistricting commissioner, as well as an election reform expert who opposed Prop 50, the Election Rigging Response Act. In a moment, we'll be joined by Common Cause, a nonpartisan good government group whose position has evolved. But first, I want to welcome Rusty Hicks, chair of the California Democratic Party, which officially endorsed Governor Newsom and Democratic lawmakers' mid-cycle redistricting push. And it's worth noting that Sarah Sadwani, a former independent commissioner who supports Prop 50, was scheduled to join us on today's show, but canceled. Welcome, Rusty.
Great to be with you.
So California, and I know you're no stranger to this, you know this, is among a select few of states that doesn't allow elected or public officials to shape districts in state and federal elections. It's considered a gold standard when it comes to elections. Why is temporarily bypassing this needed at this time?
Well, I think it's important to remember that the Independent Redistricting Commission was put in place in 2010. And 2025 looks a lot different than 2010. I think there's a recognition that California has felt the brunt and the impact of what has come out of the White House and the support that has come from congressional Republicans supporting Donald Trump. And so it requires an emergency response to an emergency situation with a president that is shopping around for congressional seats to lock in his power for decades to come. California simply can't let that happen.
Is this special election on November 4th about more than just redrawing lines?
Well, when you have tariffs that are put in place by the president that impact California families, when you have fire victims who see their assistance revoked and removed, when you see orders for immigrants to be taken off the streets without a warrant by masked ICE agents. Yes, I think it is about more than the who draws the lines here in California. It is a response to ensure that there is some check and balance and continues to be a check and balance in our country.
Yeah. But still, there are still some people who are uncomfortable with this idea or against this idea. How does the campaign for Prop 50 plan to address voters who are uncomfortable or against this partisan gerrymandering as a matter of principle, regardless of the circumstances?
Well, first, I think there's a recognition that there is a lot of support for independent redistricting. There is amongst Democrats, there is amongst numbers of all political parties. I also think that we are going to fight for and earn every single vote. And I think we do that by engaging communities across California. We do that by being honest with voters to let folks know that this is an emergency measure that levels the playing field. That is temporary. We returned back to an independent redistricting process following the 2030 census. This is fair and proportional as to what Texas has already done and what other Republican states might do. But at the end of the day, it puts the power in the hands of the voters, unlike what other states have done, unlike in many ways what Donald Trump has done and Governor Abbott in Texas have done. The maps and the policies that surround these lines is going to be in the hands of the voters on November 4th. And so we're going to work hard between now and then to actively engage communities all across California and earn every vote.
It's been less than a week since this special election has been called, and polling is already out. You spoke with our politics reporter, Laura Fitzgerald, about the new polling out of UC Berkeley's Institute for Governmental Studies, IGS, that show that more likely voters currently support Prop 50 than oppose it. So polling, as you know, it's just a snapshot in time. But how does this shape the campaign moving forward?
Well, I think, as you said, polling is a snapshot in time, and I have no doubt that one, voters are really aware as to what is going on at this particular moment. Yes, they may not know every intricacy of every policy that is taking place, and but I do know they are aware of what Donald Trump and Texas Republicans are trying to do and have done. And so awareness is very high on this issue. And we're going to be communicating over the course of the next 70 plus days to ensure that we clarify what this measure is and what this measure is not. So there's polling all over the place that have different turnout models and different demographics and a number of other factors. I generally don't pay too much attention to that. I'm really focused on the work that we need to do over the next 2 months to pass Proposition 50.
Yeah, messaging will be key. And there's already a strong counter campaign. Mailers are already being sent out across the state. One arguing that Prop 50 weakens California's democratic process, is a threat to the state's election reform. How does your party respond to that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that when you have a bottomless pit of money, that you would, be comfortable with lighting some of it on fire before the election has even been called, really to not be forthright with all of the California voters about what this is and what it is not. At the end of the day, I believe that there will be a robust conversation over the next 60 days, and California voters will know what this is all about. And will ultimately support Proposition 50 when the votes are finally counted.
Do you think there should be a debate?
I have no doubt that there will be a robust conversation, whether it's a formalized debate. Certainly, many leaders in the Democratic Party have not shied away from being at the forefront of this conversation, and I don't expect that to change.
You said like 70 some days, 10 weeks. That is a tight window for an election, let alone a special election. What are the priorities for this campaign? I mean, there isn't really a moment to waste.
Yeah, there's not a moment to waste and not a minute to lose. And in some ways, we are well equipped to respond to off-cycle elections. Just 4 years ago, we had an attempted Republican recall of Governor Newsom and beat that back handedly. And so there's some lessons that we learned from that as to how to stand up and move forward in a quick manner. At the end of the day, our democracy is at stake. California is one piece of responding to that. And so we intend on doing our part, whether we've got 2 months or 2 weeks.
Yeah, because a special election, some estimates, it can cost upwards of $200 million. I mean, that's taxpayer money as well. So is that a worthwhile investment during this time?
Well, to ensure that the votes of 20 million plus Californians are heard, especially on an important issue like this, when the stakes are as high as they are, certainly yes, $200 million is a lot of money. And we have to ensure that county registrars and local officials have the resources that they need to be able to give every California voter the opportunity for their voice to be heard on an issue as important as this.
Rusty, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Rusty Hicks is the chair of the California Democratic Party, which officially endorsed Prop 50, the Election Rigging Response Act. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about Governor Newsom and Democratic lawmakers' mid-cycle redistricting push to combat Texas Republicans who are working to gain an advantage in the 2026 midterms. I now want to bring in Omar Nouroldian with the government watchdog group Common Cause, which has walked back its opposition to California's redistricting push. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Thanks for having me.
So for those who are unfamiliar, what is the mission of Common Cause?
Common Cause's mission is to uphold the values of American democracy and ensure that people, not politicians, hold the power in our democratic and political processes.
So this watchdog group supports election reform, independent redistricting, is a national redistricting leader. And initially, Common Cause was strongly opposed to what was unfolding in both Texas and California. Can you walk us through the evolution of this organization's position in a relatively short amount of time, within the span of a month or so?
Sure. This story starts with Texas. At the direction of Donald Trump, Texan Republican leaders are redrawing congressional maps mid-decade, which is outside the normal 10-year cycle prompted by the census, which is required by the Constitution, to basically squeeze out five more Republican seats for the president. And to be clear, Texan Republican leaders initially did not want to engage in a mid-decade redistricting until President Trump kind of put his finger on the scale and put the Justice Department at work here. And what we see is this is an authoritarian style power grab designed to silence dissent and distort the 2026 midterm elections before voters can even cast a ballot. And then California stepped in. At first glance, it looked like Democrats were just doing the same thing. And Common Cause has had a long history in opposing partisan gerrymandering, regardless of which party does it. Because we believe that partisan gerrymandering, which is the process by which parties, through their state legislatures in which they're in power, draw voting districts in a way that makes sure that certain candidates from their parties win. And we believe that means necessarily voters lose their political voice and political power. But then California leaders said that what they were doing was really intended to counterbalance, or in the words of the constitutional amendment, neutralize President Trump's scheme in Texas, so that Congress still can act as a check on presidential power. Because what we have seen is this Congress is not fulfilling its constitutional role in making sure that President Trump and the executive branch has some limits on its authority. And so what we're seeing in Texas is part of a larger playbook, a larger scheme, a larger set of steps that the president is taking so that he stays in power in a way where there is no one to challenge him. And so what we did is took a step back, and we had to review our policy position through this lens, through the lens of the United States right now being a backsliding democracy, through the lens of us needing to fight authoritarianism. And through that lens, we evolved our policy position such that we continue not to endorse partisan gerrymandering, regardless of which party does it. But we had to shift our strategic posture such that we're devoting our resources to the most urgent threats. And that's why we set out a fairness criteria to evaluate any partisan gerrymandering done to counterbalance what President Trump and right now what Republican leaders in Texas are doing.
Okay, so how does California meet the criteria, the threshold for Common Cause, and Texas does not?
Sure. So in California, the first prong of our fairness criteria is proportionality. And I'm glad to hear the chair of the California Democratic Party adopt our language in this regard. And so Texas is not doing it in response to anything else. Texas started this whole mid-decade redistricting, partisan gerrymandering, tit-for-tat battle. And so Texas fails the first prong. And to be clear, you have to meet all six in order to pass. So Texas fails automatically. On the other hand, California, in the language of the constitutional amendment and the legislative bills, were requiring Texas to do something first. So there is a trigger mechanism, so to speak. So California passes that proportionality that it's being done in response to, or in other words, to counterbalance. The next is public participation. The Texas maps were drawn behind closed doors with little to no input from the communities that are going to be affected by the redrawing of these maps. On the other hand, the California plan puts the entire process and maps in the hands of California voters for an up or down vote. And so in our view, that robust back end public participation meets our criteria. Racial equity is another prong. In California, the maps that have been proposed, none of the majority-minority districts or the districts where, in the language of like Voting Rights Act, Black opportunity districts or Latino majority districts. None of those districts, the total number in California, is being reduced or eliminated. Whereas in Texas, the Texas maps involve breaking up communities and communities of color in order to create the Republican seats that they're trying to achieve. Next is federal reform. Leaders in California, including the governor, state legislative leaders, have endorsed provisions of the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the Freedom to Vote Act, who, if had been passed in previous Congresses, would have banned partisan gerrymandering and would have banned mid-decade redistricting. What the Texas legislative leaders and the governor are doing undermine all these safeguards. Independent redistricting. California has been the leader in independent redistricting and will go back to an independent redistricting process after this cycle. Whereas in Texas, they've never had independent redistricting and there is no commitment to that in the future. So California passes all six of our criteria, whereas Texas, actually trying to go the other way in a game of reverse bingo, hasn't hit any of our six fairness criteria.
Would you go as far as an endorsement of Prop 50?
No, we are not endorsing Prop 50. Our position on partisan gerrymandering remains the same. We do not support partisan gerrymandering. What we are doing in this moment is to say that if you meet all six criteria, we will not oppose. There could be another state that is controlled by Democrats that do not meet our six fairness criteria, and we will oppose the efforts by Democrats in those states if they do not meet our six fairness criteria.
Okay, so even though that this is a counterbalance, as you say, so would you call what is happening in both California and Texas partisan gerrymandering?
Yes. The idea here is that California is going to try and they have redrawn their maps to add five more Democratic safe seats. That is partisan gerrymandering. Hmm.
Is this common or unusual for Common Cause to go through an evolution like this on a stance of, I guess, not formally opposing partisan gerrymandering?
This is an evolution for our position, but one that we believe is necessary in this moment. As I mentioned at the top, we are not in normal times. These are not normal times. By metrics that, you know, people smarter than me have created to evaluate the health of a democracy, our democracy, unfortunately, is not healthy. And so we're thinking both about the now, what do we need to do now, but also the next. What is the next thing we need to do? And in order to get to the next, we have to make sure we get through the now. And so this strategic positioning that we are saying we're not opposing these measures, if they meet these six fairness criteria, allows us to get through the now so that we can start thinking about the next. How do we rebuild our democracy such that it's working for everyone?
Omar, thank you for taking the time here on Insight.
Thank you.
Omar Narouldian is the Senior Vice President of Policy and Litigation at the government watchdog group Common Cause, which has walked back its opposition to California's retaliatory redistricting push, formerly called Prop 50, the Election Rigging Response Act. A special election has been called for November 4th. Earlier in the show, we were also joined by Rusty Hicks, chair of the California Democratic Party, which officially endorsed Prop 50. And as I mentioned, this is an ongoing conversation we'll be having on Insight. You will hear from a wide range of voices. It's also worth noting that Sarah Sadwani, a former independent commissioner who supports Prop 50, was scheduled to join today's show, but canceled. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.